absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to the first Absolutely Intercultural show of 2007. So much happened in 2006 that it's difficult to know where to start. But first things first, what have we got for you in this, our 22nd show? Mark Anderson in Pretoria, South Africa, was one of our guests in 2006 and here talks about the apartheid system which was swept away 13 years ago. Can you grow up thinking such a system is normal? Next, we hear from one of our listeners, Fernando, commenting on our piece in the last show on image projection. And finally, we hear from Kate, a Polish student teacher, and her experiences while on observation in Denmark. My name's Anne Fox, and this show is coming to you from Denmark. Happy New Year to our regular listeners who helped us win the Best Audio or Visual Blog category in the EduBlogs Awards. Believe me that this means a great deal to us, and you may appreciate why if you take a look at the competition we were up against on the awards site. So, welcome to any new listeners who may have stumbled across us as a result of that. Then we ran a competition which added many new members to our Frapper map on the blog. Fortunately, we managed to identify a winner just before Frapper underwent a major overhaul, which now makes it quite difficult to see when people joined. But we haven't managed to get in touch yet with our winner, Zanelli Kumalo from South Africa. I don't know if I'm saying that right. So, Zanelli Kumalo from Cape Town, if you're listening, please get in touch to claim your prize. You'll find contact information on our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. Let's now hear more about South Africa in our Absolutely National slot. We first met Mark Anderson last year talking about Danes and working in Korea. I was also curious about his impression of the apartheid system growing up in South Africa. Let's hear what he said.
To understand race relations in Africa, you have to almost like take a history lesson. But what I usually do is I start with, say, 1950, when the Race Relations Act, I think it was called, was introduced in South Africa. And apartheid, of course, was introduced 2 years before that, when the nationalists came into the government. But, of course, race relations problems existed for centuries before that. To what extent, I don't really know. But let's take, for example, the Race Relations Act. No, it was called the Population Registration Act. Yeah, that's right. The newly formed government then decided to classify everybody in South Africa and to put them into four distinct race groups, which were white, African, colored, and Indian, or Asian. And I happened to fall into the colored category, which was, you know, people who were not distinctly either black or white. They were kind of in between. And most of them were descendants of slaves from the early Cape Colony. And anybody who really did not fit into either the Indian or the black or the white category were just lumped together as colored. And this basically also had identity and political implications for everybody in South Africa. Which is still evident today after 12 years of democracy in South Africa. And it's possibly going to take a couple of generations for that to disappear. But yeah, basically that's, yeah, and you asked me whether I found it strange growing up. No, I didn't really. For me, it was the natural state of things. That was how I saw the world. And everybody accepted that was a God-given state of affairs. And the extent to which that belief exists is really quite, you know, for a foreigner, it would be quite astounding. I remember, for example, 10 years ago, I met an American woman who used to work with children in Guguletu. And one day, it was a white woman. And one day they asked these black children asked her, you know, what do you call this thing in the back of your throat? And she said, well, I don't really know what it's called. And all the kids were astounded. They were really confused and surprised. And they said, how can you not know that? You're white. You're supposed to know everything. That is one of the things we have to deal with, unfortunately, is people's ideas of race and the idea of race, which only among, say, South African intellectuals is accepted as a myth, really. But most of the majority of the population sees race as something which is deeply enshrined in the human nature. It's everybody is defined by race. The other day, for example, I was listening to Neville Alexander, one of South Africa's foremost opinion makers, and he said that, for example, the Zulu culture, which is held to be it's like a sovereign entity by most Zulus, that was actually created by missionaries. The missionaries who came into Zulu culture and in the 18th, 17th, 18th century. And a lot of the way in which Zulu people see themselves is actually not something that has existed before then. That sense of identity was inculcated and drilled into them by the missionaries. And most, you know, when people hear this, they obviously wouldn't believe it. But, you know, it's a point to be debated.
I look forward to hearing more about South Africa from Zanele. Now, we're always very happy to hear from you, whether you add a comment to our blog or whether you send us an audio comment. Hi to Bob Palmer, for example, in Japan, who asked about our flash player. You can find out more about what we use by reading the comment in the blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. We also got an audio message in response to our feature on image projection in the last show. So let's be absolutely yours and hear Fernando's experience of image projection.
Hi, Absolutely Intercultural. I would like to wish you all Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Well, my first personal experience on image projection was probably in Germany. Well, I got an internship there, and I worked in a company and in a university at the same time. I remember that I took two suitcases full of my Spanish clothes, but when I got to Germany, I felt that they weren't appropriate somehow. In the university, they were slightly too formal, I would say, but in my company, they weren't trendy enough. They weren't professional. So what I did was going into eBay and buying a pair of shiny black Pumas and donating my livery in the black market to buy fancy suits that I could wear in special occasions or when we had a reception in the company. And I must say, it worked very well. So I think it was quite a good choice. After my stay in Germany, I have found out that it's relatively important to master this ability.
Many intercultural issues have to do with expectations, and just as Fernando had certain expectations about how he should dress, so did Katarzyna Kubaszka, a teaching student who came to Denmark as a class assistant under the Comenius EU scheme. Let's hear how she reacted to the Danish classrooms.
My name is Katarzyna Kubaszka. It's quite difficult. I came from Poland, from Krakow. There I study in the teacher training college. I study English. I'm going to be an English teacher. Now I'm on the third year, so I'm going to graduate in June. And I came to Denmark on the 1st of August. It's a kind of teaching practice for me. It's thanks to the EU-funded program called Comenius. Mm. It's for the future foreign languages teachers. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm here. I have this practice in Grano Technical School. My role is to observe lessons, to help and assist teachers.
So did you put Denmark on your list of countries that you wanted to come to?
Yeah. Denmark was on the third place of my list. I could choose six countries. I also of course, wanted to go to Great Britain because of the language, the language I study, and the rest of the countries were Scandinavian countries, so that's why I'm here.
I have to ask you this. Have you learned any Danish?
Yeah, I have started learning Danish. I even attend the school. There is in Grenoble, there is the language center, and I attend Danish lessons. So I'm trying to learn it, but it's extremely difficult.
Okay, so I don't have to ask whether it's difficult or not.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Okay. And so you've actually been a lot in Danish classrooms then as part of your teaching practice and observation. So have you noticed any differences there?
Yeah, sure. The very significant aspect is the relation between teachers and students. Here it's quite informal. It's not so strict as in Poland. I have noticed that students refer to teachers using their names. It was quite surprising for me because in Poland we use words like Mr. and Mrs. before people's names. So it was quite shocking for me. It makes the relations more informal. In Poland I could notice more discipline, more rules of behavior and relation, and these relations between teachers and students. Here, I think that teachers want to be the best friends of students, not only their teachers, not only people who want to teach them something. So here's something more. These relations are not so strict.
Who learns the most, Polish students or Danish students?
It's a difficult question because in Poland we put more attention to theoretical knowledge. And here students have the opportunity to practice what they have learned. The practical matters are more important for teachers as well as students. So it's quite difficult to judge who learns more. I think that Polish students have to learn more theory. But I don't think it's a good aspect. I think that practical knowledge is much more useful, and we should put more attention to that. Even in English, because I take part especially in English classes, so I have noticed that here you put a lot of attention to speaking, to communicative aspect. And that's a very good thing because it's much easier to communicate. I can be in these classes and for the whole lessons, students speak English only. They don't use Danish, so it's very, very good for me because I cannot understand Danish. And it's not a problem for us to communicate. So I think these practical matters are very, very good.
So you say there's this emphasis on theory in Polish education, and yet the grading system in Poland seems to be quite wide, and it takes in a lot of things. Can you tell us about the grading system?
The grades are from 1 to 6. The 1 is the worst grade, and you fail when you get 1, and 6 is given for something extra, for extra work. Grades are given not only for the final exams or just for specific homework. They are given for most of the homework, for as oral as well as written ones. They are also given for preparation for lesson, for participation, as well as behavior. And that's quite surprising, I think, for you. Especially because there is the new rule in Polish educational system that you can even be forced to repeat the year if your behavior is not good enough.
I must say, it sounds good that you don't just rely on exam grades.
Yeah, of course, there are some final exams at the end of the school, but at the end of each year, you get the grade which consists of the grades which you got during the whole year. So it's not one exam. It's your work throughout the year.
Yeah. what will you be taking away with you to Poland from Denmark?
Well, a lot of experiences. I have a very good opportunity to observe another educational system, mm-hmm. especially teaching English, different approaches to different ways of teaching, and I wanted to create my own way of teaching, which will of course consist of some clues, some hints that I got here, mm-hmm. especially this practical things, these practical matters. I think it's a very, very, very good aspect, and it should influence Polish system, because we focus on more on theory in English, mm-hmm. and writing and reading, but not on speaking, and that's a very necessary thing, mm-hmm. which should be introduced.
If you have any comments on this or anything else regarding this podcast, then don't hesitate to get in touch through our blog. We love to hear from you. The next show will be coming to you from Germany, so in the meantime, stay warm and stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.